Bit about that that beautiful psalm, and I mentioned at the time that it is the summation of what we find in Psalm 119. There are 176 verses in Psalm 19, but when we look at Psalm 19, there are only 14 verses. It's a summary of what we find in Psalm 119. And this morning we were reminded of the importance of the words blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the Lord, counsel of the wicked, and things like that we heard already. So the importance of the scripture is something emphasized even in this morning. And my prayer is that the Lord would continue to speak to us this morning from the scripture. When we look at the characteristic of a model church, we see that the early church steadfastly continued in the doctrines of the apostles, in fellowship, breaking of the bread, or the worship and prayer. And there was a man of God lived many years ago back in India. He started the Hindustan Bible Institute, which in turn became a place where young men were trained, and they became in the pioneer workers of North India. Many people don't understand that North India is like a dark continent. You know, hardly any work is going on there. These men went to North India, but they were prepared by this man. His name is Brother Gupta. And once he was speaking from Acts chapter 2, he said that a model church is a learning church. It's a fellowshipping church. It is a worshiping church. It's a praying church. And also it is a witnessing church. There are five ingredients that you can find in a model church. That's always true. These are timeless principles. And I do pray that our assembly here in Hastings would be known as a model church, so that we can have a good testimony. The purpose of the ministry is to impact life. Efficacy is a word that we've come across in the scripture. That means effectiveness. We ought to become effective witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus we can glorify the Lord. And my prayer for us is that we would grow together in the things of the Lord, particularly we would be built up in the faith, so that we would be known as men and women of the Bible in the days to come. Steadfast, that particular word is very noteworthy. In another translation we find devotedness. They devoted themselves. About 11 times that word is used in the scripture. Only 11 times. Devoted. Devotion to the Lord. And as a result of that, we would be able to continue in the scripture. And this beautiful psalm, Psalm 19, in the first six verses speak about God's glory in creation. God's glory in creation. Then from verses 7 to 11, we read about God's glory in His scripture, or in the Word. How God revealed His glory in the scripture. And lastly, in verses from 12 to 13, we read about the prayer of the psalmist. It's a beautiful passage and a portion that we can look into as we progress in our study. The heaven declares the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. It's a very familiar verse to all of us. We probably all memorize this verse even as children. The heaven declares the glory of God. In creation, we see God's power, wisdom, and providence. In creation, God reveals His wisdom and His power and also His providence. The psalmist, when he looked at this beautiful universe, this nature, he was filled with awe, and he was just exalting the name of our blessed Savior. Or our blessed God. Same. Heaven declares the glory of God. And it's a proclamation. It's a profound statement that could come out from a man who was occupied with the person of God. Heaven declares the glory of God. When we look at the nature, when we went to Europe, we could see some of the beautiful places. I don't know, somehow many of us uttered that that verse. Look at the beauty of this God's creation. Look at this. How beautiful it is. You know, that's wonderful to know that our God is a God of creation. He's a God of power, a God of wisdom, a God of providence. Yet that's not enough for us to have a relationship with God. And that knowledge should lead us into a relationship. That relationship comes as a result of His revelation that is given in the Scripture. That is called a special revelation. I would like to speak on that. And as we progress, we would be able to learn more about the effectiveness of the Scripture in our own lives. Verses 7 onwards, I would like to read. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting in the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making in the wise simple. Here, first and foremost, we see the source of the law, the source of the Word of God. In many terms, in terminology, that is explained here, it is the law of the Lord. It is the testimony of the Lord. It is the statue of the Lord. It is the commandment of the Lord. It is the fear of the Lord. It is the judgment of the Lord. He's talking about the Word of God. These are the terms used to explain or instruct us about what is there in the law. What is there within the law? That is what explained in these terms. The law of the Lord, instruction. How to conduct ourselves in this world. In order to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, we have to turn to the Word of God, not to philosophical speculations of the thinkers of this world. That only lead us into confusion. The history had proved time and again that it would definitely lead to confusion. Walpole was a great philosopher, and he started the Civil War, or the revolution in France. And it was about to spread into England. At the time, God raised a man known by John Wesley. He traveled across England and preached the gospel, and historian says that John Wesley spared England from chaos and confusion. Because he preached the gospel. He preached the word of God. He was a man who was on the horse traveling thousands of miles proclaiming the word of God. Today, what we need the most in this country is the sound teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Not the gimmicks will never bring revival in our lives. Programs are not substitute for the Word of God. The Word of God should be preached. And here we find that the law of the Lord is perfect. It's all-sided. It is flawless. It is perfect. There's only one thing perfect in this world. What is that? The Word of God. God is perfect. That is true. And God revealed Himself through His Word today. I haven't seen God. But I can see God in the pages of the Scripture. When I read about Abraham, when I read about Jacob, when I read about David, I see what a gracious and loving and merciful God we have. The way He interacted with them, the way He dealt with those individuals. The same God is my God. The same faith Abraham had, the same faith I have. He is the father of faith. Faithful, right? So we find here that the law of the Lord is perfect. What does it do? It converts souls. The Word of God has the power to transform us. Only the Word of God has the power to transform us. I read somewhere that each word Hitler uttered, 120 people perished during the Second World War time. Each word Hitler uttered, word is very powerful. God's word is charged with power. Not that Korean is speaking here. God can easily replace me. But the Word of God will go out. And it will impact lives. So here we find that the Word of God is powerful.
It's able to convert us, to transform us, to change us, to build character in us, to make us fit for God's service. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, matured, maturity, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you want to be used of the Lord, fill yourself with the word of God. You know, there are five things that we can do as far as the word of God is concerned. I mentioned about that last Wednesday. First, be willing to hear his word. You know, how much is the retaining power when you hear the word of God? The educators suggest that it's only between 6 to 10%. You know what I speak here? You are not going to get everything. I'm telling you. You better believe me. Maybe 6 to... Some people have very sharp mind. My wife, who went to be with the Lord, God blessed her with very... It's a photographic memory. She always used to tell me, don't repeat things. Because she remembers everything. That's the problem. For me, I appreciate if people can repeat 10 times. Then only I'll understand things. So what I'm saying is that, you know, if you read the word of God, I mean, if you listen to the word of God, you retain only very little, very much, 6 to 10. If you read, you can retain between 20 to 25%. If you study, you can retain about 50% of what you study. But how much time we take to study the scripture? Study involves commitment, discipline. And in that area we are all lacking. So we should have a deep desire in the word of God so that we should fill ourselves with the word. And that is lacking today. You know, when you think about the discipleship ministry, you know, study, discipline, commitment, all these things are involved. You know, I was talking to somebody, there are people who are willing to disciple others, but there are not too many people willing to be discipled. Discipler and disciplee. There are many people willing to become disciplers, but there are very few people willing to become the learners. That's a sad story today. And so we find here that it has the power to change. And secondly, we find that it is the testimony. Testimony simply, it is the testimony of the Lord. Lord graciously disclosed himself to us. Disclosure. Testimony means, you know, what he knew, he was just disclosing to us. He revealed himself to us. And we see about this God, we learn about this God in the pages of the scripture. So that what happens? And the Lord, the testimony of the Lord is sure. It is trustworthy. That word sure means reliable. Trustworthy. You can something that you count on. It's better than money in the bank. There are over 5,400 promises are there in the Bible. How many promises we know? Woodrow Kroll, the director of Back to the Bible, suggested. It's not my, I never counted all these things. But fortunately, I read and hear these men quite a bit. So I learned about this. 5,400 plus promises are there in the scripture. How many promises I know? I don't know many promises. I know few. Maybe the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Some of the promises are unconditional. Some of the promises are conditional. If you seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's a conditional promise. But we need to know for sure what God is disclosing about himself. Self-disclosure, revelation. We see that in the pages of the scripture. You don't see that in the historical writing of Josephus or Pliny or some of the historians of Rome or Israel. No, you don't see that. Most of the things written by these men are so confusing. And it is dishonoring to God. But some people are turning to those writings rather than the pages of the scripture. So we find here in in the scripture that his testimonies are sure. What does he do? It makes us wise. He makes the wise the symbol. Actually, that translation is wrong. It simply means, simple-minded means the one who is open to anything and everything. Open-mindedness. Some people say, I'm very open-minded, right? Have you ever heard people saying that I'm very open-minded to accommodate others, to please others? We are not supposed to be the open-minded people. We ought to be the single-minded people, the God-minded people. We should be known as the biblicist. We should be known as the men of God, the men of Bible, and for that matter, sisters of Bible. What I'm saying is that, you know, what the Word of God can do is this. It can turn the simple into wise people. Wisdom is the ability to use the principles given in the Word of God in our practical life. That is what wisdom. If you can read the whole Bible, you can have a DD, Doctor of Divinity, in the scripture. But that does not mean that you are a man of wisdom. You ought to have the filling of the Holy Spirit. You should be guided by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit to apply these principles in our lives. That's what we find here in this passage. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And thirdly, we find the statutes or the precepts of the Lord are right. Rejoicing the heart. Precepts. What does that mean? Principles or doctrines. The Bible is full of doctrines. Some people might say, you are very, you know, I told to me many years ago, oh, uncle, you guys speak all the time doctrines, but you don't talk about the day-to-day struggle young people are facing. You know, we were known as the biblicist. We put a lot of emphasis on the teaching of the doctrine. But if you cannot apply what is given in the doctrine in our day-to-day life, that learning is of no use. If the Word of God is inspired of God, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It should mold us to prepare us, you know, let the rubber meet the road. It would direct our path. One of the things about the Word of God that we learn in Psalm 19 is, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I don't know, Lord, where to walk. It is too dark outside. I'm going to be lost. I need some light. Where I can find that light? In the Scripture. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. I need direction, Lord. I don't know what to do. At the time, we can turn to the Word of God and meditate upon it. Hear it, read it, study it, memorize it, and meditate it. Discipline, hard work. If you do that, you will be known as men and women of the Bible, God. So here we find thirdly that these statutes, these precepts are right. Sure. And what does it do? It says here that it brings joy to your heart. Right? We all wanted to be joyful people, right? I wanted to be known as a man of joy. Why are you so happy? Some people might ask you. You know, then we can say from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When I look around me, there is hardly anything I can find to rejoice. Everything is just opposite or against me. Some people might say that. But the Lord is in my side, right? Martin Luther had that problem. One day, you know, Martin Luther's wife put a black cloth, you know, she wore a black dress and went to Martin Luther and said, Martin Luther saw his wife in that kind of dress. You know, that's the kind of dress people wear when they go to a funeral home. Then Luther asked, Why are you here in this kind of dress? When I look at you, I thought somebody dead. You know, he thought, you know, that is the kind of impression she had. Because there was no joy in Luther's life. That was the turning point in his life. That was the turning point. He decided to find his joy in the Lord. The Bible says that rejoice in the Lord. And I say again, rejoice. We can only rejoice in the Lord. The joy that this world would give is only temporary joy. It would never bring satisfaction. Eternal satisfaction. But the joy that is there in the Lord Jesus Christ is so profound, so wonderful. I just want to share a story. When I was working in a company called Techcom, during the break time I used to spend time reading the scripture. There was a girl, lady, woman. Her name is Maya. She's from Vietnam. She married a young man here in America, a Caucasian. She was at the verge of suicide. She was observing me for some time. One day she came and talked to me. She said, "Can I talk to you?" I said, "Please, feel free, go ahead." She talked to me and she poured out her heart to me. And I understand that she is in deep trouble. And I asked Maya, "Maya, can we do something together? Let's memorize some Bible verses." At the time I was studying in the book of Philippians. We started memorizing Bible verses. Then what happened was that she did not know English much. She said, "I cannot memorize Bible verses in English." I said, "Do you have a Vietnamese Bible?" She said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Why don't you memorize in Vietnamese, in your language?" And I memorized that in English. So we started memorizing Bible verses. Within 3 months, this woman became so happy. Simply memorizing the Word of God and discussing about the Lord Jesus Christ completely transformed this woman. Her face became so radiant. Within the matter of 3 times, she had been to our chapel a couple of times. And her relationship with her husband was restored. Her mother got saved. Her brothers got saved. The whole life of this woman was completely changed because she started memorizing the Word of God. I'm telling you that if we give ourselves to the scripture, God can do wonder. God can do wonder. So here we find that it brings joy to our soul. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy that exceeds all our limitations. That's the kind of joy he's talking about here in this passage. And so we find thirdly that the statute, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. If you want to be a joyful Christian, spend time with the Word of God. And fourthly, we find that His commandments are pure. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. It is not options, by the way. You know, we pick and choose things, right? It is just like going to buffet. You know, sun, moon. What is that? Moon. Great moon buffet. You know, we go there and pick this, pick that. You know, for many Christians, it is just like going to a buffet. No. That's not the way it is given here. These are commandments. These are the commandments from the King of Kings, your Lord, your Creator, your Redeemer. These are orders. We don't obey orders in just like slaves. But these commandments are for our good. Bruce, would you like to read one verse from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 13? It says that something wonderful about the commandments of God. You know, Moses led the nation of Israel for 40 years. Now he is going to die and they are about to cross the Jordan River and enter the promised land. At the time, he was just pouring out his heart to the nation of Israel. And he's telling about God's instructions, statutes, commandments, ordinances, testimonies. And there he summarized why God has given his commandments. 10:13. Deuteronomy 10:13.
"To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day, for thy good."
For your good. These commandments are given for your good. It's not to make God good. God is good. His mercies are new forever, right? God, one of the attributes of God is that He's good. God is good. Yes, commandments are there to make us happy. It's for our good. God has given His commandments. And we need to understand that. So it should not feel this as a burden. You know, come unto me only that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. And take up my yoke and learn of me. You will find what? Soothing effect. You know, your life will be changed. You know, these people were obeying all the do's and don't do's, over 600 commandments of the nation of Israel. These Israelites, when the Lord was on the face of the earth, you know, they were tired of all these things. They couldn't do much. They failed. They felt miserable. At the time, the gracious Lord appeared unto them and addressed them. And He said, come unto me. Not to these Pharisees, not to the priests, not to the Judaistic system, but come to me, I will give you rest. Learn from me. Then you will find solace, joy, and comfort in me. So here we find in this passage that the commandments of the Lord are pure. That means, pure means clear, transparent. It makes things very clear to us. It gives new insight about God, about you, about the world, about life, about sin. It will change you. Your outlook will change. You have a different perspective when we obey the commandments. That's what we find fourthly here in this passage. And then our time is very limited, so I had to go, I have to hurry up. In verse 9, we find that the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Fear, reverential trust. You know, it is not a slavish fear he's talking about here in this passage. It's a reverential trust. When we gather together, there must be that reverential trust, awe. You know, in this morning we worship.